Today's message is called A Message of Grace. Let's just start it out this way. All right, the holidays have come to a close. Our Christmas tree is no longer, and the lights are put away for another season. God willing, we'll be able to get them back out. And we greeted each other with greetings like merry and happy. Families came together to celebrate. This is my favorite time of year. On my beloved, I got a new pair of socks. The holidays are supposed to be joyful and filled with a gladness, but for all too many, it's anything but. It becomes a time of sadness and depression, of high anxiety and credit card debt. And we're looking back over another year of striving and yearning. And the question is, what are we living for? Why did Jesus really come? Why can't people look past themselves and look to the one who saves? Is there someone in your family fighting for their very spiritual life, destroying their life? Why are people setting themselves up to fall, and some so hard? And even over holiday gatherings, the pain can't be denied. Christmas or not, don't look for the devil to give you a break, because he won't. He attacks, he's relentless, he's in your ear, he's looking for you to second guess yourself. Is there something I didn't say or do right? Maybe I'm wrong. You see, you think that the devil would just leave us alone to celebrate the Lord's birth, but he doesn't. Worse than that, he gets into the ears of those that we deeply love. Those who are so broken, and he's telling them, hey, it's all your fault. You brought this mess on yourself. You're worthless. And for those of us who have been there, we know what's happening. We see the truth. We see the folly of the proud. And I missed my paper. Ah, here we go. It's then when Satan, this is new paper, it's all stuck together, sorry. You see, but this is when Satan comes to us, and he comes to us with his big question. Hey, where's your God now? We're in a fight, whether we want this fight or not. And our problem is that we think that this world is so real, but that's really not true. The real world is yet to come. And I know all this is true, and yet there's times when I'm still depressed. This is further proof that I'm in a fight. I simply can't stay inside of me, inside of my own thinking. I can't cheer me up. Sometimes I live life stark raving sober. Where do we turn? So have I depressed you yet? Well, here's some uplifting. Here's some encouragement. Here is the good news. Today is a day of celebration. This is Epiphany Sunday. Today, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, is revealed not only to the Jews, but also to us Gentiles, to all the people of the world. Our scripture comes to us today from Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 7 through 13. Paul writes, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. My first thought about this scripture is like, hey, well, you know, who would have picked Paul to bring the good news to us heathen Gentiles? Look at him. He's a religious extremist, and he's unwilling to compromise. He's determined to wipe out Christianity. He held the coats of all those who stoned Stephen to death. You know, we witness it on TV. What's more vicious than a religious terrorist who kills in the name of God? That's who he was. But I tell you that God is in control. He shoves Paul to the ground. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" We all know what happened. We know the story. His blind eyes are open to the truth. Hope's now brought to us through the very one who desired to eradicate us. In the first verse of chapter 3, Paul says, "I am a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles." What Paul brings to us, God's divine plan, the mystery of Christ, is revealed to him by the Spirit of the living God. Paul becomes our example of God's love and his grace. The grace of God, the power of God, is just poured out into Paul's heart now. He received the gospel by divine revelation. He was sent to us that we'd receive it. And once you believe it, you change. It's the gift of God's grace. It's the working power. It's his working power. It is the unsearchable riches found in Jesus Christ, once hidden in God, now revealed. This is the manifold wisdom of God. D.H. Cooper writes, "His wisdom is unsearchable. It's past finding out. It's original. No one taught God. He's the only true source of wisdom. There's no wisdom anywhere apart from God as he is revealed in Christ." Wisdom and knowledge, they're just not quite the same thing. Knowledge is having info and facts on certain things, but God knows all things from beginning to end. He brings all those things about powerfully and irresistibly. In his wisdom, he frames all knowledge together. He causes all things to work together. He causes all things to work together in order to serve his purposes, the eternal purposes of God. Listen, to know Christ is to know God. To know God is to glorify his name through Christ and the church, which Christ is ordained to redeem. So don't waste time and effort on the latest developments. Just know that we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We're his saints. In God's wisdom, he unites all things to himself. He unites all things to each other, all working for his glory, not for the glory of the church. And for those who ask, why did Jesus come? This is why he came. He redeems a man like Paul. How fitting, a Jew and a Roman. He opens his eyes and he teaches him, and he sends him back to us, bringing the gospel message to us and to the world. Paul is accredited to writing 13 books of the New Testament. Of course, that's argument. He doesn't let the honor and privilege of carrying God's message of salvation go to his head. He only boasts of his weaknesses, allowing the power of Christ to dwell in him, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. He's humbled. He claims to be the least of the disciples in 1 Corinthians 15 and 9. He claims to be the least of all saints here in Ephesians 3 and 7. He claims to be the chief of all sinners in Timothy 1 and 16. So, why did God use Paul in such a mighty way? Please get this. God's never going to use anyone who hasn't first humbled themselves, made themselves small in their own eyes. Paul brings us two words, humility and grace. I tell you, it all centers around grace. I believe the definition of grace goes farther than God's unmerited favor. I believe it is God's blessings, and that is a plural. Through Christ, for those who deserve his wrath, we who were objects of his wrath are now objects of his grace. Think of grace. You ran from God, and he came after you. He called you unto himself, and now his grace empowers you. His grace sustains you, for he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Go and witness. this newfound grace and strength to others. Those who are lost, those who are alienated, without hope and without God. In Acts 20 and 22, let Paul be your example. He says, I'm going there. And I don't know what's going to happen to me there. And the Holy Spirit warns me, there's going to be some tough times there. But my true identity is in Jesus Christ. My true value, my true worth is in completing the mission that Jesus Christ has laid out before me. It's my purpose. Lord, may I finish the race, complete the task, witnessing the gospel of God's grace. That someone, maybe the least likely might be saved. This, my beloved, is why Jesus Christ came. And what really sets me off is verse 10. His intent, that's God's intent. God purposed his manifold wisdom would be revealed to the heavenly realms, its rulers and authorities, through the church. Again, my beloved, we are the church. We are the true body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. You see, all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, the good ones and the bad ones, they're all looking down on us to see how this unfolding drama of salvation is really going to play out. This might be sacrilegious, Jeff, but this is an Adventist hymn. In fact, it's found on page 432 of their hymnal. And it's titled, Holy, Holy is what the angel sings. And it goes like this. They're singing up in heaven like we have never known, as the angels sing of victory and the Lamb upon the throne. But when we sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never knew the joy that our salvation brings. They watched it all happen. God incarnate, the birth of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection and ascension of Christ. Oh, hey, the devil's, he's a defeated foe. God's wisdom is now declared. It is revealed to the people of God. And the heavenly realm and the whole world watch to see how we, the church, live out the power and the glory of God. We are all truly given the privilege of a ministry. We all have a ministry. As for me, I keep the door to my past openly far enough to see how far I've come. You see, I know my frailties and I know my weaknesses. And I'm also humbled by what I'm called to do. If I can't see myself as the least among you, then how will I ever be able to reach you? How will I ever answer his call? Humility is that freedom from ourselves. It is the freedom of knowing I'm not at the center of the universe. In Christ, I'm not at the center of my own life. Humility places you on the path to resolving strife. Humility places a greater value on God than you place on yourself. Oh, you know, God loves us so. He both proved his love and satisfied his justice at the cross. He makes his own spotless son to be our sin bearer. He places our punishment, what our sins deserve, on his son Jesus Christ. At the same time declares his glory and love by pardoning all who would believe in him. And even though we've sinned, and even though we deserve condemnation, in this world there's just too many that just can't make sense of this. They just can't connect the dots. This is something they've never experienced. They just don't understand the gain far exceeds what's surrendered. I ask you, what kind of thinking are you called to give up? You see, it is up to us to make it clear to all those around us, the hurting, the lost, that the real predicament that they're in, the payment of consequence, rebellion, and sin requires. God shows us the way. At the cross, his love and justice are found, our atonement for sin. He bore what we deserve. And my beloved, we don't have to put a spin on it to make it sound better. We come here today, we preach Christ crucified. You see, verse 10 says, the church is where it all comes together. The place above all places where God makes his wisdom known. I want you to just go ahead and take a good look around. Yo, we're all a bunch of unlikely people. We don't have a sign on our front door with requirements to enter. You don't have to pay a deposit to get in. He's getting us ready to go witness God's manifold wisdom to unlikely people. We don't deserve to be here, but we belong to Jesus Christ. And in so, we do belong here. We come together and find strength. We share our hearts and the burdens of our families. We pray together. We share joy found in Christ together. We sing the same song. I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ with an eternal purpose. Through his grace, with a humble heart, I come boldly with confidence and faith before the throne. God's filling in us his promise to Abraham. So, my beloved, the day's coming when the king will come, casting Satan and his dominion into the fire. He'll make right all that's been wrong. Christ in the center. God prevails. All that attempts to oppose him fails. Well, let me leave you with this. Revelation 7 and 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your church. Thank you for one another. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.